Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a chance yesterday to celebrate the solemnity of Christ our King, Jesus, the King of the universe. And it's the end of the liturgical year. We're beginning, you know, Advent's about to kick off, beginning another wonderful cycle of the church year. The church takes us through the rhythms of the life of Jesus and the Father's plan, the revelation of the Father's plan, and we walk through it. But it ends with the celebration of the victory, the kingship, the rule, the majesty of the person of Jesus. The whole story, the whole Christian story, really leads to this conclusion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life. God the Father gave his Son so that the Son could establish a kingdom. He could deal with the kingdom of darkness and destroy its demonic power. And then establishing the Father's kingdom in the person of Jesus. And we want to talk about it this week. I want to talk about it all week long. I mean, it's such an important theme to think about the kingdom of God, the kingship of Jesus, the rule of Jesus. What does it actually mean? It can feel kind of a maybe like a wonderful story, or it's a reality that we assent to by faith, but what does it actually mean in our daily lives? What does it mean that Jesus leads us to pray the intimate personal prayer that he taught the apostles, given to the whole church? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. The first petition Jesus taught us to pray is for the coming of the kingdom. So I want to touch on the kingdom this week in various ways and taking key passages, taking elements from the catechism, and just trying to understand the place of the kingdom, the rule of Jesus as king, and what does it mean for us to live under his kingship? What is it meant to look like? And it's manifested, obviously, in the church. And what is the church meant to live like? So hopefully this week we can touch on a variety of these subjects. But I thought today we could begin with really asking the question, what does it mean that God has a kingdom? What does it mean? Right? The word kingdom, Hebrew and Malkuth, and in Greek it's basileia, does not primarily mean a place or a territory, but God's active reign. His royal authority in the order of life that flows from his will being done, which Jesus clearly demonstrated for us. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. When we speak of God's kingdom, we mean the dynamic reign of God over all creation, manifesting his power, his truth, his justice, and his love. We're not necessarily talking about a physical place primarily, but we're talking about the presence, the reign, the absolute authority, and the order of the kingdom, the life of God, being shared by others. Looking at the Old Testament, when the whole emergence of the idea of the kingdom began, Psalm 93:1. The Lord is king, he's robed in majesty. Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. God is king simply because he's the creator. His dominion is absolute and benevolent, and it's been for all eternity. That's the reality of just the universal kingship of God, his kingdom. Covenantal kingship is a theme that runs through the scripture, and friends of ours have written about this. And just a couple of things I want to say, that God freely chooses Israel, a people, and he reigns over them through his covenant that he established with them. So what we see in the people of Israel, the chosen people, is the beginning of God's plan. It's a long story. There's a lot there. But God wanted to draw a people to himself. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19:6. God's kingship is therefore personal and it's relational. He's not only a ruler, but he's a father and he's a bridegroom, which we'll take a look at more toward the end of the week. The bridegroom kingship of Jesus. He's a bridegroom king. He's a bridegroom king and judge. We'll touch all three of those, hopefully, before the week happens, and how Jesus exercises his authority. And then there's the Old Testament messianic expectation. that what God was establishing with the people of Israel, and then how he eventually accepted the idea of Israel desiring a king, and then God's promises to David, who was the great king in the history of Israel, not the only king, but the exceptional one historically, even though he was a sinful man like everybody else, as clay feet. God gave a promise that David's reign, David's throne, will last forever, so that what emerges in God's relationship with his chosen people, they're a type of what is to come. You know, God's desire to have a people, God's desire to reign over them and to love them and to walk with them and to share his life with them. And then the messianic anticipation or expectation that Jesus ultimately fulfills. You know, he foretold by the prophets, his dominion is an everlasting dominion. This messianic reign that will come, Daniel 7:14. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, will reign to all generations. Psalm 146, verse 10. So really, by the time Jesus came, devout Jews awaited the day when God would be king again. And Jesus is the living manifestation of the kingdom of God. I mean, the kingdom of God is God. Ultimately, the kingdom of God is his son, Jesus. It's their eternal relationship and rule and absolute total creative power and dominion from all ages. And we see the beauty now of God's saving plan, and it's being revealed in the presence of the person of Jesus in the coming of the kingdom. Jesus' central message, Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Really, this is the heart of Jesus' mission, to make God's reign present among men. We're living in a fallen world under the dominion of darkness, a dominion, a kingdom, a satanic kingdom in a fallen world. Jesus is bringing the rule and reign of God, and he came to make that possible. Of course, he took on human flesh to become one of us so that he could redeem us, so that he could save us, so that he could make it possible for us to live in the presence of God, to give us power to become children of God, and then to establish his church on the earth, which is the sign and the beginnings of the presence of the manifestation of God's kingdom on the earth. Again, we'll talk about that in more detail as the week goes on. In Jesus, the kingdom's not merely an ideal or just a future hope, but it's embodied in him. As St. Cyril of Alexandria came across this little quote, I loved it. He said, where the king is, there's the kingdom. The kingdom is about a person, Jesus Christ, who the Father is enthroned at his right hand as king and Lord of all. And he won that right, you could say, by his incarnation, life, passion, death, and resurrection, his victory over all demonic and satanic power on the cross, and his establishing his kingdom not by armies, but by his free offering of his life on the cross. He brought down the kingdom of darkness, again, not with swords, but he brought it down with humility and love. This is the essence of the kingdom. That's where the real power of the kingdom is, in the humility and love in the heart of the Son. And he comes to establish a kingdom of people, individuals that become a body, that become a family, that become a kingdom, and they share this in common. He's meek and he's humble of heart. He's motivated by love, rightly ordered love. Love of the Father, expressed in radical, total obedience and surrender. And he demonstrated it on the cross, and the power of the kingdom was revealed in that disposition, in that gaze that Jesus had for the Father, in his fundamental yes, his total yes to the Father. That's where it brought down the rebellion of the kingdom of darkness, the great no. No to God, my kingdom, my power, me, of the kingdom of Satan. And the whole human race is trapped in that kingdom apart from the liberating act of Jesus' love demonstrated on the cross and making it possible for us through the gospel through the message of the gospel, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to make it possible for us to be set free from the dominion of darkness and to begin to come into a new life, a new way of living, into the life of the kingdom, which is sharing the life of Jesus. Where the king is, there is the kingdom. We see it in Jesus' miracles, his teaching, his exorcism. The power of God's reign breaks into history in the person of Jesus. And a beachhead has been established of the kingdom in the church and in the world. And this is a kingdom that we know will never end. It's undefeatable and will last forever. The only question now is who's going to be in it. And the church's mission, of course, is to go out and walking in the footsteps of Jesus, making present again the signs of the kingdom through love, through preaching, through service, through signs and wonders, through healing, you name it. The same things Jesus did, he wants his church to do. And here's different ways. So the kingdom, of, as I said, is a person. Here's a beautiful quote from the Catechism. To carry out the will of the Father, Christ inaugurated the kingdom of heaven on earth. The church is the seed and the beginning of the kingdom. Where Christ reigns in hearts, in the church, and in the world, that's where the kingdom is present. The kingdom is a reign of love and truth. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. And we try to make the church sometimes like the world. It's a big, big mistake. My kingdom is not of this world. It's the interior reign of divine charity. It's new life and people brought from death to life, animated by the kingdom of God and now living in imitation of Christ and making the kingdom present, bringing liberation from the powers of sin and death, making it possible for people to enter into communion with God. The kingdom is present and the kingdom is future. Present in the grace and life of the Holy Spirit that's present in the people of God. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. The future, to be fully revealed when Christ returns. Matthew 25:31-34, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom. It's the already and the not yet of the kingdom of God. Here's some wonderful quotes from the Catechism we can just take as we come to the end of the program today. The church is not identical with the kingdom, but she is its seed, its sign, and its instrument. Paragraphs 567 of the Catechism. It was the Son's task to accomplish the Father's plan of salvation in the fullness of time. Its accomplishment was the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was inaugurated by Christ. It shines out before men in the world, in word, in works, and in the presence of Jesus himself. Jesus makes the reign of God present. And that reign of God comes alive in us through the Holy Spirit, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism's all about. We're baptized into, we're given a new nature, a participation in the very life of the King. And the saints are the living lights and models for us of just how far and how radical, how transformed human beings can become and how much they can live in the kingdom now. Brothers and sisters, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, let's pray it with greater faith and really understanding that when we pray for it, the Lord wants all of us to be manifest in the kingdom more fully in our lives. Hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.